Blog Talk Radio.
With this, the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. We do this every single Saturday from 1 p.m. till around 2:30-ish. And the reason that we say 2:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Saturday. And it is a Saturday. This is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss, and fight, go back and forth with each other, bust it up all crazy. We take an introspective look into our own personality to see the way that the universe projects us into this thing called the world and try to figure out this thing called life. I'm your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. I'm feeling like a real man should, and I hope that y'all feeling like real men and women should also. So let's get it popping. Get it popping on a Saturday afternoon. What is an introvert? What is an extrovert? And which one would you qualify yourself as being? What do you consider yourself to be? Do you consider yourself to be an extroverted person? Are you always up in somebody's face? Not necessarily saying that you're bothering them, but, you know, you're a little confrontational, you know? And being confrontational doesn't necessarily, I think if you are a confrontational person, you probably are absolutely, without dispute, an extrovert. But there are other ways to be an extrovert that do not or may not involve direct face-to-face communication or confrontation. There are other ways to be extroverted. Basically, extroverted is putting yourself out there. It may be your ability to be able to communicate and your willingness to do so. You know, if you know that you have a voice and you insist on being heard and you don't mind, you know, putting yourself out there, picking up the microphone, say, hey, wait a minute. I'm not so sure about this. I think we need to have a conversation about this. Can I holler at you? Wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Okay. We good. I was a little unsure about something, you know, as far as my startup is concerned. Y'all got to understand, I'm going through a whole lot of crisis on a Saturday morning. You know, even though this is the afternoon, we still have some crossover residual tiredness, and you know, just we gonna be all right though. I can guarantee you that we gonna be all right. So check it out. You know, when you classify yourself as being an extrovert, the likelihood that you want to make sure that the voice that you have is heard, not necessarily attention seeking or anything like that, not necessarily being boisterous, but making sure that things are going the way that they want to be and taking responsibility to do that. That would probably qualify you as being an extrovert. You don't have to be loud. You don't have to be obnoxious. You don't have to be a party person. You don't have to be the type of person. You know how when you go to a party or function or get together or something like that and there's music playing, you don't always have to be the first one to get out there on the dance floor. But I would say that if you are one of the first people who go out there and get on the dance floor, you're probably an extrovert, because an introvert probably wants to play the wall a little bit. Introvert doesn't mean that you stay home. It just might mean that, you know, yeah, I come out. But when I come out to chill. I come out to chill. I ain't, you know, I'm going to let everybody do their thing. I'm just out here. I'm just out, you know, to check out the scene. I'm soaking up all the information. If you want to know what happened last night, I'm the person that you come to. But I ain't going to put myself out there as the person that you come to. But I saw everything that happened. I was at the wall. I was on the wall, or I was at the bar. I was just, you know. Okay, this is what we're doing. Yeah. You can be in an extroverted situation but still be an introvert. So this is what we're going to do. Let's go ahead and get the Webster's Dictionary definition of what an introvert and an extrovert is. Let's do that. We're going to do that. Let's do that. All right. The definition of an extroverted person. It absolutely did not catch that. The definition of an
Wikipedia, Red Dead is a series of Western action adventure games published by Rockstar Games. The first entry in the series, Red Dead Revolver.
The definition of an extroverted person.
An outgoing person. According to the freedictionary.com, extrovert and one. An outgoing person, a person concerned primarily with the physical and social environment rather than with the self.
Okay, what can we do with that? Okay, an outgoing person, a person concerned primarily with the physical and social environment rather than with the self. So this is basically saying that if you go out, then you're an extrovert. Personally, I'm not going for it because I don't think that it gives enough information. Unless you take into consideration, they say a person concerned primarily with the physical and social environment. So primarily means that you put that first. Could be. I just know a lot of introverted people who went out. I know introverted people who always got called out. Sometimes they were somebody's little brother or little sister. Sometimes they were the person who had the car. What y'all know about it? What y'all know about the person that really didn't like to go out all that much, but they kind of wanted to be down? So they had the ride. And all y'all had was a trans pass. For those of y'all who are not from the Philadelphia area, a trans pass was a bus pass. So look, you want to be carrying your Gucci or Louis and Fendi bags on the train or the buses on the train? Because we used to do it. Yeah. You want to be rocking your chains and your silk shirts. You know, the silk shirts that used to come in the box. Who know what I'm talking about? Who remembers? The silk shirts that used to come in a little plastic box. You know, like a gift box, like around Christmas time when you go to a department store, they give you those gift boxes with the paper in it. Yeah, the silk shirts used to come in there. Giorgio Gentile. I remember that. I remember those days when anything that sounded Italian sounded like something that was expensive or had quality. The Giorgio Gentile silk shirt that came in the box, that came in a little plastic, you know, box that you could see through. You could see the shirt in the box. Take the shirt out the box. Make sure that it's the right size and all of that. Pay your $60. Get on up out of there. But do you want to be on the subway with your nice little gold nugget ring? You know, little nugget ring with your little diamond chips and the thing. You got little chips. Got your chips in the thing. Chips in your little chain with your little piece on it. You know, you weren't rocking long chains like this. It was more like Nah, you ain't had that piece right there. Pull it back a little bit. Yeah. There you go, about that size. Had your little ring. You want to be wearing that on the subway back in 87, 88, 89? You want to do that? Yeah, so a lot of people got a chance to go out because they had the car. They had a license. They had access to a car, whether it was theirs or whether it was their parents or whatever the case may be. So, yeah. Yeah, man, I mean, Dave cool. Plus, Dave got the ride. All right, anyway. So, Dave might have been cool, but Dave had the ride. And Dave wasn't really the type that would, you know, really, really know how to slide up on a shorty at the bazaar. He ain't really know how to slide up on a shorty at the bar like, hey, what's going on, ma? How you doing? Everything good? All right. What you drinking over there? Yeah? Sex on the beach? Yeah, that's a good drink. Sex on the beach. You want to know? Are your friends she much on to? All right. That ain't Dave. Dave played background, listening to the music. Little do you know, Dave is having a good time at the party or at the club or whatever. He had a decent time. But Dave ain't getting no phone numbers. Dave probably didn't dance the whole night. And Dave was cool being the chauffeur. But he got a chance to be out there on the scene because Dave is really an introvert, but Dave was an introvert in an extroverted situation. Now, in terms of the topic, here's what could have happened to Dave later on. After Dave soaked up all this information, Dave went through years of being the chauffeur and whatever, you know, seeing everything, knowing exactly how things went down, then saw this person perform, that person perform, been backstage and all of that kind of stuff, all in the background. The only reason that Dave was ever on scene was because of somebody else that invited Dave out. Later on in life, Dave can speak about all of his experiences. Dave can talk about Dave can talk about when LL Cool J came to the After Midnight in 1985 and bust that freestyle. When he bust that freestyle, then did I Want You. No, he did not perform Can't Live Without My Radio. This is before all of that. This is before. See, a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people do know that, but a lot of people don't know that. Before Can't Live Without My Radio, there was I Need a Beat. There was It's Dangerous and I Want You on the B side. So he came down to Philly in 1985, bust his freestyle that's legendary on the radio. Well, he did it in the club. He did this freestyle, blew it out. That freestyle is comparable to people who would rhyme today. It was really fucking awesome. Anyway, Dave can speak on that because he was there. He was there. Nobody remembers Dave. Dave didn't dress real fly, nothing like that, but he was in the house. So later on, when Dave started to get his confidence up a little bit more, when Dave started to, you know, make a little way for himself, and he started to come into his own, and now Dave might have a blog show. And Dave can tell you about little nuances, little ins and outs, little tidbits of facts and figures that other people don't know because Dave was there and he saw it and he kind of logged it in his mind. He might have even put it in his journal when he went home because Dave was that type of introvert. While Dave was out, Dave only looked from, you know, side to side, up and down, or directly at something. Actually, never directly at something, but he heard and saw everything. Everybody else that came with Dave can't remember nothing that happened because they was too busy getting high. They was caught up in the moment. They had a different agenda. Dave had that introverted energy. Nobody really noticed Dave, but Dave noticed everybody. If a crime would have happened, the first person that anybody should have gone to, the first person that the detective should have gone to was Dave. Dave saw the whole thing, but guess what? By the time the cops came, Dave was already home. Like, yeah, I saw it. Oh, damn. They started shooting. We rolled out. But I remember when they rolled up. I saw them coming down the block. They was up the block. I saw them. First, they had their lights on. I couldn't really see what kind of car it was. They turned the lights off on the car. They started coming down the street. Next thing you know, they started banging. That's how it went down. So Dave now is telling his story of everything that happened back in the day. Dave welcomes people to listen to him. Dave goes out, put himself out there, promote himself and things like that. He would have never done that before. He's an ex-introvert. And that's only one of the ways that it can happen. There are different ways that this thing can go down. So let's talk about it. What do you consider yourself to be? An introvert or an extrovert? My man Benny 361. Yo, first of all, I wanna say that I appreciate the comment that you made earlier today. I saw that. I was like, yeah, that was pretty dope. That's what's up, man. Appreciate that. Thanks for coming through. All right, so let's talk about it, y'all. That's how it's going down on the Urban Therapy with Sun show. Ex-introverts, ex-extroverts. What are some of the reasons that a person might distinguish themselves from being an extrovert when they were clearly an extrovert before? You know, some people might say that they're not extroverted anymore because they settled down. They had kids. They got married. They had responsibilities to take care of or whatever. So they didn't have time to be out there doing this, that, and the third. I don't think that stops them from being an extrovert because you may be extroverted in your introverted type of setting. in a small, it doesn't matter whether you are in a small room or a big room. If you make your presence known and you do your thing and you communicate and you put yourself out there, you are an extrovert. No way around it. But you may not look at it that way because you're not doing it in the way in front of the people that you used to do it in front of. But you still got it in you. You still got it in you, baby. To be honest with you, I consider myself to be an introvert. A lot of people might not consider me to be. But I have a lot of introverted ways. And some of you are probably sort of like me. You have some extroverted qualities, but your thoughts are very introverted. Might be like, you might feel like, you know, I could have kept doing comedy. I could have kept, standing on stages and telling jokes. And but when I used to be a comedian, I still wasn't all that social. My man Denny Live used to tell me all the time. He used to be like, son, when we go out this time, when you get off stage, don't leave right away. You know, because he noticed this shit. As soon as I used to get off stage, I would go get on stage, rock it, kill, and all of that kind of shit. Yeah. And I'm out the door. Half an hour later, I'm home, undressed, in bed, chilling. Going to work tomorrow. That type shit. Real shit. I didn't hang out that much because that really ain't me. People don't know that, but I was an extrovert with a lot of introverted qualities. Of course, when I would drink, it would make me a little bit more extroverted. But other than that, I get off stage, get my little accolades. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, yo, can we buy you a drink? All right, I'll take a drink. All right, get my drink. My man Denny would hype himself up. He would get the crowd on his side before he ever got on stage. I used to check him out. You know, before he went on, he's already at each table with all the girls. He's sitting there with the girls. You know, chopping it up with them, talking shit. Yo, when I go on, make sure that y'all pay attention to my shit. You know, anybody who knows Denny knows what I'm talking about. He's already promoting himself. It was a smart move. It was a smart move. He was a smart guy. But that was his thing. He's absolutely an extrovert. Absolutely. I do extroverted things, but I'm really an introvert at heart. Because at the end of the day, I can take it or leave it. You know, it's there's a conflict there. There's definitely a conflict. Let me see. Emily says, I'm an introvert and always has been. I can see that. Not sure if that totally disqualifies you as having some extroverted ways. Benny361 says, yeah, according to 48 laws, although I'm an introvert, I shouldn't isolate myself so much because it's bad mentally, and it has affected me. Okay. Cherry says, I think I'm an introvert, but people perceive me differently. I know a lot of people, but my circle is small. I hear that. Benny says, I've always wondered, can you develop into one or the other? Because now I have become reclusive, but before I was outgoing. It's hard for me to trust nowadays. You are going exactly where I wanted to go with this. Being an extrovert, there can be reasons that you came in from the outside. There may have been reasons why you were always on the outside before. You was always outside as far as at the party, at the function, at the event, at the whatever. you may have been way more social. And I mean actively social. Like, hey, what's going on? Hey, how you doing? Glad to see you here again. What's up, man? You know, you want to go to the bar, you want to get a couple of drinks or whatever, you know what I mean? Yo, let me introduce you to my people. Hey, yo, listen, this is my man Benny over here. And, you know, Benny, you know, yo, my man Benny. Benny's doing his damn thing, you know, he good at this, that, and the third, and all that, you know. Yo, we want to chill with Benny. So, yo, Benny party over here. You know, that type of thing. There can be certain things that bring you in from the outside. It would be easy for me to say, and people would believe this, if I said, well, when I stopped drinking, then, you know, I stopped going out. I stopped going out way before I stopped drinking. I used to drink in the house in the first place. I would drink at home and then go out. Sometimes I would get drunk enough at home where I'd be like, nah, I'm going to chill. Which would explain those three DUIs. But don't worry about it. Don't worry about me. Anyway, Robbie Mink says, I used to be an extrovert when I was younger, but now I'm an introverted person. That's what's up. Shirley, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. What's going on, Bob? I got to see you. And Emily says, Benny, people that I talk to on Facebook wouldn't think I'm an introvert because it's easier to talk behind a keyboard. It really is. They keep inviting me to places, and one day I'm going to show up, I think. It might be a good idea, too. T. Carrie Wright says, I'm definitely an introvert, Dave. Oh, an introvert, Dave. Okay, I actually need to recharge after I'm around people for a certain... See, here's what, yo. All right, I'm going to read it the way you probably want it to be read. Okay. I actually need to recharge after I'm around people for a certain amount of time. Okay. And she also says, people from high school and my jobs remember me as extroverted, but the truth is that I forced myself to interact with other people so that I could get ahead of social interactions. Okay. Emily says, the crew I chop it up with is in the industry, radio, producing, et cetera. So they're always doing extroverted things, which I want to be a part of, but I'm not a part of that. Like I said, I'm going. Sounds good to me. Make sure y'all hit that like button. Please. Make sure y'all hit the like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. I am your host, Sun752. And we are talking about ex-extroverts and ex-introverts. Why do so many people consider themselves to be the opposite of what they were when they were younger? Is it the kids? Is it the responsibility? Is it the failed relationships, the bad marriages, the jobs that didn't go well, or the jobs that do go well, that did go well, that made you, you know, become one thing or another in order to succeed or to stop failing? Was it the spouse? Was it the spouse that you met that changed your life and gave you a different way of thinking? Was it when you moved from one place to another place to get another job and started noticing some cultural differences? Was it the way that you grew up and the suppression that your parents had you under, or the people that you grew up with? Did they suppress you from being extroverted or introverted? Did they keep you? Were you the type that grew up in a place where they would make you be an extrovert even if you didn't want to be? Oh, you going to talk to this person. Did they Michael Jackson you? You know, Michael Jackson had a lot of introverted qualities, but he didn't have the opportunity or the choice to be an introvert as much because his dad said, nah, you going to sing, dance, and get this money. He said, sing, dance, and get this money. Sing, dance, get this money. Sing, dance, get this money, but the boy used to play around with a mouse, a rat. What the, where the fuck they do that at? Yo, the boy used to play around with a mouse, a rat. Ben, where did they do that at? Man used to play around with a mouse and a rat. Where the hell they do that at and get the money? Dance, sing, dance, and get this money. Sing, dance, get this money. Sing, dance, get this money. He didn't tell jokes on stage, but I heard he was funny. Had a lot of personality, but still wasn't introvert, extrovert. Could dance better than anybody hurt. They feeling, dude, what he had to do was appealing. Greatest performer in the world, and that's undisputed, whether you like it or not. The boy was hot to death. You think a lot, but he had to sing, dance, to get this money. He went, okay. What are some of the things that can turn you from being an introvert to an extrovert? What are some of the things that can turn you from being an extrovert to being an introvert? What can happen? I'll tell you one thing that can happen. Changing friends. You know how it is when you're younger and what the motivation was for being around the friends that you had when you were younger was. You know how it was. You may have been around the friends that you were with when you were younger because y'all all went to the same schools, because y'all were on the same sports teams or clubs, things like that. Or because they were your family members. I used to hang around with all my cousins. My cousins were my friends, and my cousins had other friends. And so my cousins and my sisters and my brother's friends became my friends, and we all called each other cousins and brothers and sisters and things like that. And so they were my day ones, so I did what my day ones did. But there were some things that my day ones did that I never really approved of. Like for example, my day ones used to like to fight all the time. So everywhere we went, I used to always have to fight or witness a fight or make sure that somebody else didn't get beat up. But I really didn't like fighting all the time. So when we got older and we were still fighting, and, you know, we really shouldn't have been fighting no more, and then my cousin fucked around and got killed, or my brother messed around and got sent to jail, things like that. So I knew that all of that wilding out that we used to do, all of that rumbling and stabbing and shooting and getting into shit and fighting people, knocking people out just because they stepped on my sneakers or because, you know, things that happened over girls and things like that. I really didn't want to wild out on cats all the time, but I felt like I had to because that was the way I was brought up and that was the things that I was taught. I didn't think that was all, it didn't feel right all the time, but it became more of a reaction. But going to jail can be a very humbling experience. So somebody that was very influential or somebody that was special in your life, they go to jail or they die, they get killed or something like that, and it can scratch the record. Wait a minute. We lost such and such over this dumb shit that we've been doing. Enough is enough. You know how many homies I done lost? Doing this gangbanging shit, doing this wilding out shit. Enough is enough. I got to get out of Philly. I got to get out of Jersey. I got to get out of New York. I got to get out of Baltimore. I got to get away from this environment because I can't take it no more. We've lost enough. I'm tired of pouring out liquor. I'm tired of buying T-shirts. I'm tired of going to funerals. I'm tired of putting money on people's books. I'm tired of that shit. I'm tired of that life. I still got love for my peoples, and I've always had love for them, alive as well as deceased. But I'm not going to be one of those. Not yet. There's a better way for me. I'm leaving this shit behind. It can be one of the reasons that you are not the way that you used to be. It can be one of the reasons that you take your time when it comes to your temper and what you see as being disrespectful. And the way that you handle that. So where you were extroverted before, violently extroverted. Pussy what? Bow! Now it's like, listen, man, listen. you know, there's a better way for us to handle this. There really is. We can still handle this like men without the negative part of this testosterone having to come to the forefront. We can both walk away from this situation, not only alive, but well and feeling good about what happened. Now, I'm going to give you a chance to make that decision, because I know how the other way turns out all the time. You may not have been able to do that when you was with the crew that you came up with. They wasn't about that life. They didn't learn those lessons. They wasn't with it. So that's just one example and one way that you can become an extroverted person. It's one of the ways. Okay. 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 Oh, wow. Okay. Emily says, this should be the show I call into, but being an introvert, I'm held back from doing so. I'll drink to that. But if you did want to call in, the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. The number to call is, I said 319-527-6199. I said, you know what I'm talking, I said 319-527-6199. That's the number to call. I said 319-527-6199. Yes, 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 y'all. I said 319-527-6199. Yeah, get on the line. I said 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your shine, baby. 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 319-527-6199, baby. Press number one, and that will let me know that you would like to speak, and then I will call you out by the last four digits of your telephone number. You can rock a rock on the dude. Damn, to do the damn thing. It's the Urban Therapy with Sunshine. And let's go. Let's go. Robin Ming says, I stopped being an extrovert once my daughter died. I lost all my extroverted ways then. I hear you, Rob. And number one, I'm sorry about what happened to your daughter. And I'm sorry that you had to go through that. There aren't too many positive things about a child of yours preceding you in death. It just doesn't seem like the natural order of things. But I also want to say that we all have to understand and accept that all life comes to an end. We all leave this place. And we also have to understand that life goes on. So although a part of your life may have been taken away from you, you have to understand that you have to put that piece of your life back, because you're still here. You're still here, and you will be here until it's your time to go. You know, I just wanted to put that out there. But, I fully understand how that can have a really, really strong impact on whether you were an extrovert or an introvert. It can have a really strong impact on that. And I was just talking about it a few minutes ago. I'm saying, like, if you were a violent person before, and then, you know, you got tired of your dad, your homies, your cousins, family members being killed or locked up or whatever. Yeah, it can force you, or at least encourage you, to change your ways. It's sad when it doesn't change you. But why would that change you from being an extroverted person to an introverted person? That's what we need to look at. How does that change take place? The change, baby. How does that change take place? Well, let's get into it and get involved. These puzzle pieces right now, we gonna solve. Okay. Nara says, I missed the last 30 minutes talking to a relative. That's okay. We got you. We got you, homie. Ain't nothing. Benny361 says, I feel like I was an extrovert when in my 20s, I didn't think it through. Okay. Yeah. That's what the 20s are about. Reaction. Not that much thinking. He says, now I take my time. I hear that. Shirley Cheryl says, what made me stop is when being the kind person that I am, some people mistake kindness for weakness, try to take advantage, but no. Robbie Ming says, thank you, Omar. Yes, I know I have to move on starting this year, making me happy. That's what's up. And being around you personally, you know, like, yeah, you do be chilling in the back a little bit, but you still, listen, there are certain people who have pretty much supported everything that I've done. And that would definitely be Robin Ming and Shirley Cheryl Hudson. Everything. They have come out. You know what I'm saying? Every single thing since I started this movement. So it is what it is. Let me ask y'all something. So, Cheryl, would you say that I forced or made some people become extroverts when they really didn't want to be? Because, you know, when we were first starting this thing, we were doing some things that people just didn't do. We were doing things that people didn't do. You know, some innovative things. Like when we started the exercise program and we didn't have a building. We didn't have a home. So we was exercising right out there on the street. Well, in the park. Right there by where the cars were, so they could see us doing our things. And none of us were in that type of shape. So we were like, we're normally women who, or people who needed to exercise, you know, because the people who really need to exercise are people who look like me, people who look like you, not those models that they be having on the Planet Fitness or on those exercise commercials, you know what I'm saying? They are already in shape. We was trying to get in shape. And a lot of people, I know for a fact that a lot of people didn't come to my events because they knew that they were going to have to be out there with people looking at them. And I was taping it and uploading it. So it was like, I know for a fact that kept a lot of people, you know, in the background, like, yo, I like what y'all doing, and those exercises are really nice, and I'm going to do them in the background, but I ain't coming out to your event because you ain't putting me on camera. You are not taping me. Mm-mm. People ain't going to see my rolls. People ain't going to see my jiggles. People ain't going – and I understand it. But you know me. I made them do it. Like, fuck that. I figure if we put ourselves out there, then other people who really need to put themselves out there would be attracted to that. Sometimes, well, it worked for some people. It didn't work for a lot of other people. That's okay. So you kind of find out where the introverts and the extroverts are sometimes without provocation. People's in the background checking it out like, yo, good shit. But I ain't doing that shit. Okay. Shoot, you know, thinking back on it, I should have got some BBWs. But the thing is, BBWs don't want to work out. They too busy acting like they proud of being overweight. I was dealing with people who actually wanted, you know, who saw their future. They trying to get to age 70, 80 years old and shit. And I say those ages because it's not that easy to get to those ages when you're morbidly obese. It's not easy. You don't see a whole lot of 100-year-olds that are big. Just saying. Okay. Robbie says, I was mentally, emotionally, and physically hurt. Yeah, I could dig it. And she also says, I left many groups, but I stuck with this group because it was positive. That's what's up. Well, I'm glad that you're still here. But yeah, you rode. Rob used to call my show when the Urban Therapy with Sun show was on Wednesday. She would call that shit every Wednesday. Like, what? A lot of times she would call, you know, on a regular basis. You know, she always had a story to tell. That's why it's hard for me to look at you as a straight introvert. People used to call me about you. Well, how she have every experience that you talk about? And I'm like, how can you not have every experience? Well, I talk about real life. We've done damn near shows about opening up a can with a can opener. Tell me I'm lying. We've damn near done shows about opening up a can of Nine Lives or Alpo. If you can't relate to something I'm talking about, you are dead. But we've done shows about people being dead, so, you know, you ain't getting out of this. But I appreciated it. Still do. That's my word. I think we have a caller on the line. I'm about to take the caller. Caller with the last number is 4215. Hold on just a second. I'm about to tell you. I'm talking to you just. Let me read his last comment. Shirley Sherrill says, I wouldn't say you made anybody do anything. However, you are a very strong motivator. You were very encouraging. Strongly encouraging. Yes, I enjoyed it very much. Can't wait to start again. Come on. Didn't I make y'all do it? I want to make y'all do it. Didn't I? I made y'all do it, right? Yeah. Right? Let me see if I can change your comment to, yes, you made us do it, and I'm glad. All right. Must be my extrovert coming out. All right, caller with the last number is 4215. Thank you for holding. Welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sun Show.
Welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sun Show.
Oh, you got to turn your mute. You got to turn your background down.
All right, Dana. I thought I just did that.
Nope, I can hear it. Now I can hear you.
Yeah, I can.
Now I can hear you.
All right. Now, there we go.
There you go.
Yeah. In the vein of I think I'm trying to go back and scroll because if somebody said something that sort of like made me want to. Sure. About being, you know, people taking kindness for weakness. Well, early on, you know, like being in teens, some people, I might as well speak for myself. I was more extroverted when I went to school. I think I had perfect attendance. Because I like being around, you know, peers and whatnot, and being sociable that way versus hiding how I felt at home. Because, I mean, home life wasn't all that great, but it wasn't all that bad either, you know. But just wanting to hide and escape from what I was thinking and feeling on the negative side of whatever was going on at home, you know, that was, you know, going to school was an outlet for me to help me feel extroverted and to, you know, be involved in outside activities, you know, such as, heck, what, playing in a band, singing in the choir, you know, had a little part-time job after school. You know, that was always a good one, you know, to put off going home right away. And again, not saying that my home life was so terrible that I dreaded going home and all I wanted to do was go to sleep. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. No, nothing like that.
Okay.
But you know, again, that, you know, being extroverted to hide some things, and then it could be, go vice versa too, as far as being to where you get sick of people mistreating, you know, taking the kindness for weakness, back to Cheryl was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And not wanting to be around people because you're tired of being disappointed and or hurt.
True indeed.
So it's sort of like a toss of a coin type of situation.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. Well, what would you say separated you or were some of the differences between your brand of being an introvert or an extrovert versus somebody else?
My brand? Oh. Being, let's see, extroverted, I think for me, we're talking present day now, just to actually go step outside, just hold your head and face up to the sun and arms wide open and say, here's the day, let's have it, you know. Breathing in that Prada, as one cat says on another little deal.
Okay.
And just go out and embrace the day. You know, that's one way. And, you know, and just being courteous to everybody that goes, you know, that cross your path or, you know, you may happen to make some kind of contact with. You know.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. And then introverted. I think being introverted also ties in with anxiety.
It can. It definitely can.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, as far as just dreading going to be around people or like going to an appointment or dreading going to work or, you know, anything that you really don't want to do but have to do. And if you can avoid it, you will, like calling off or, you know, rescheduling. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. Anything along those lines. Just, you know, procrastinating. That's a big one. Procrastination.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So do you consider being an extrovert more associated with directly interacting with people, or do you consider it just being around people on scene? Or being willing to come out. Okay, let me put it a little different. We know that whoever hosts the show has to be an extrovert, right?
Yeah, because they have to conduct interviews. Yeah,
that's right. What about the cameraman?
Yeah, what about the cameraman? That's a good one. I see you, but you can't see me. Yeah.
Because the cameraman might be one or the other. We don't really know.
Yeah.
We don't really know. He might have something to say, and maybe he speaks through his camera work. So maybe the way he pans the camera or whatever lets you know where he is. Or maybe it's not. Maybe we can't take from those clues or those cues. Maybe, you know. But that was the best example that I could give to find out exactly how we classify an introvert or an extrovert. We know that the host has to be an extrovert. We don't know if the cameraman is or isn't.
That's a good point, because you think about how sitcoms or any time a sketch is set up to where they know to turn to a certain camera so it can zoom in on their face.
Right.
Yeah.
And the cameraman has to come out. He can't do this from home. The editor can, but the cameraman right. got to be on scene every single yeah. time y'all film. He got to be mm-hmm. there.
News anchors, yep.
Mm-hmm.
They got to have somebody behind the camera, which are in most and a lot of times maybe driving a vehicle as well, like doing traffic. Yeah.
And there has to be a connection between who's in front of the camera and who's behind the camera. There has to be a connection.
True.
So.
Yeah.
So we know that if the host doesn't host anymore, if he decided, you know, I'm going to retire or I'm tired of doing this, I'm not going to go out and do these shows anymore, we may consider him to be an extrovert. Of course, we know that there can be other reasons that he or she is not doing it anymore. They could have gotten fired. They could have gotten blackballed. They could have, you know, there could have been something behind the scenes that could have taken away their passion to be out there like that anymore. You know, there are a variety of things that could have happened. And we might
which
have
leads to, me to ask. Mm-hmm. Which leads me to ask you. As a comedian, have you seen comedians that tended to be introverts?
Yeah. And you can see it. You can see it in their comedy style. You know, you had comedians that were very gregarious. Get on stage, it was almost like a party. Like, yo, what's up? Yeah. Oh, I see. Like, for example, like D.L. Hughley. You know, D.L. Hughley. You might like his style of comedy, but he's actually funnier mm-hmm. when he's just interacting with the crowd. You know, when he's busting on people and you know teasing yeah. people and stuff like that. That's when he's really funny. When he has to actually tell his jokes, it's like, you know what I'm saying? But he has that extroverted style. Like, he's going to notice you. He's going to pick, poke fun at you, things like that. He's extroverted in that way. Whereas somebody like I've seen cats tell jokes almost like they're waiting to see if you're going to get the jokes or if you're going to like the jokes, even though they were stupidly funny. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. but yeah, their style of comedy. There's a white comedian named Steve something, and he, you know, like the way he tells his jokes, it's in his monotone style,
mm-hmm.
and he'll say things like, yeah, I was born with something like I got my birthmark when I was like 4 years old. Some shit like, you know, like stuff that you have to really listen to, but it'd be like crazy funny. I can't remember his last name, but he's a popular national comedian, you know, but you can tell he's an introverted type of comedian.
Hear that now. Having a birthmark in the form of a cigarette burn, some shit like that.
Yeah, he said he got it when he was four, you know, like, you know, shit like that. And like you see, like a Kevin Hart, he's always going to be on scene. He's going to be dancing. He's going to be, you know, he's very, very extroverted, and he's always been that way. But you don't have to be extroverted to be funny. You can be very, very funny, but more than likely, those extroverted comedians are going to get all the shine. They're going to get all the popularity and all of that kind of stuff. And the expectation that they're going to get that is going to be higher than other comedians. So, but yeah, I've known a lot of comedians that were introverted. You heard it in their comedy style. You saw it in the interactions with other people and stuff like that. You know, there were some comedians that pretty much wanted to smoke weed on stage. And then there were those who went to the back. They always had the real good bud, you know what I mean? And, you know, they did their thing and all of that. They didn't, They didn't need to be out in front of people all the time. That wasn't their thing. They were like the bad boys that moved in silence. But they were on scene. Mm-hmm. But they were very extroverted. They spoke when spoken to, that type of thing. They were seen and not always heard. But when they went on that stage, they went out on that stage and they did their thing. You know?
Yeah.
There's a comedian, he's a national comedian, but he's really known locally. He's a handicapped comedian named Charles Walden. He's very extroverted. Mm-hmm. Introverted. Very introverted. You know what I mean? And it could be because of his disability.
Disability, yeah.
Yeah, it could be. But I think even if he didn't have that that disability, I think he would still be introverted. Now, he's extroverted enough to have started comedy, bombed and all of that kind of stuff, got really good at it, and became a national booked comedian. Sounds good to me. You know, so. Yeah.
I wonder from another standpoint of another occupation, just imagine the double-edged sword of being an open speaker, doing seminars and public speaking all the time. I wonder if how introverted one might be, you know, after, you know, leaving the podium or dropping, you know, putting the mic down or leaving the cameras, you know? Are they just the same, you know, both ways? Are they as outspoken, you know, when they don't have to be? I don't think so. You know why? Because I think that they have to be more observant in order to express, to be as elaborate as they do, you know?
I'll say this. We're talking more about what it means to be an extroverted person.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to being a public speaker, one of the things that I'm thinking can make you become an extroverted public speaker is recognizing the challenges in trying to reach the audience that you're reaching. You know, a lot of times we think it's all about the money, like, you know, when I get the type of money that we used to get and, you know, people ain't coming through, tickets ain't selling and stuff like that. But it's not always that. Like, for example.
Public offer. The love offering was low.
But a lot of times, especially when you're talking about public speakers who were seeking consciousness,
mm-hmm.
and you realize that, you know, talking to these black people, going out there trying to reach them, and sometimes you realize it can be very discouraging.
It can.
You know?
Just out of having, even if it's a brief conversation, less than 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
it can be discouraging. Yeah.
Yeah. You see, okay, you fill in these venues full of people and stuff like that, but you realize that the impact that you're really trying to make is not being made. Yeah, you're making money. Yeah, people are saying that they're changing, and you say that there's a wave of change, but you realize, you know deep down inside, no, there ain't nothing changing. We are still the same. We on this treadmill. We on this merry-go-round. We just doing the same shit, dressing differently and playing different music. It's the same shit. You know what I mean? So that can be one of the things that can make that might turn you from being out there, putting yourself out there, to realizing, like, you know what, I can actually make a better impact behind the scenes. You know, where I can see my impact a little bit more. And that's just an example. But here's an example that I'm pretty sure that you and most people can relate to. Lauryn Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Lauryn Hill. Who sold more albums on their first album than Lauryn Hill? Nobody.
I can't think of too many other people. Nope.
Murdered it. Never to make another decent album again. never to make a studio album again. That second album she came out with wasn't a studio album. It was a live album.
That Unplugged, yeah.
It was a live album that she should have deaded.
Yeah.
It should have never happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, somehow it got past the people who gave the, you know, would give the, you know, the yay or the nay. It just went out there anyway.
Yeah, they wanted another album. They knew it would sell. Name recognition.
Yeah.
They knew it would sell. So record exec says, yeah, we need that second album. So she said, okay, I'm going to give you a second album, but you don't understand what transformation has taken place with me since that first album. That first album, I was out there. I was out there promoting. I was doing shows. I was proud of what I was doing. I really loved, you know, what was happening. Something happened,
yeah.
And I'm not that anymore. I'm way introverted now. Some people say I'm crazy. People say I'm depressed. Some people say I'm bipolar. Whatever the case may be, I ain't what I was. I'm an ex. I'm definitely an ex-extrovert. I don't even want to be out there no more. I'm still living off of the income from the Fugees and that album. And I'm good with that.
Yo, man, have you heard her piece she did on Nas's Nobody?
Mm-mm.
Man. It's on the King's album, that Nas King's album that just came out not long ago. It's on there. Man, listen to her bars. Oh my gosh.
She was a beast.
Basically punched everybody. Yeah. Yeah.
She was.
Oh, God, man.
She's the greatest thing that didn't keep happening.
Man. But when she put her, man, you should hear these. Oh my gosh, man, you just really need to hear. I shared it with somebody. Yeah.
Right after this show, I'm gonna go cue that up.
Yo. Oh man. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it, man. She murked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's about the most visible icon that I can think of when we're talking about being an ex-extrovert. She nailed that.
Just like, yeah. And that's good enough. So, yeah, because I think about, you know, as speaking of being an ex-extrovert, I think about how extrovert I was when I looked at all the friends I had from growing up, you know, from school, or anybody who remembered me from years back, and how, you know, looking at my friends list on Facebook when I was fucking with them. I was very reactive. There's a lot of people that actually remember me and thought something about me, some that, you know, how I made them feel or how I connected with them or knew them in passing, whatever it was. And then looking at where I am now, I was like, oh, okay, who's really around? I mean, not everybody can be in your physical sphere all my life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But remember an impact is one thing. Because I do find myself saying, well, I remember when. And then also remembering where you're from is where you're at. Just because of where I've been is where I am, you know.
Yeah.
So,
man.
And part of it could contribute towards, again, how back to how other people may have made me feel, to where I realize that who's really there and who isn't. It's one thing to get accolades and a pat on the back or saying things out of certain sentiments with good intentions. But, like I said, everybody is not going to be in the coffin with me either.
That's true. It's absolutely true. Yeah. So, certain things happen in the lives of certain people, and it may totally change their perspective about how they view themselves as being extroverts or introverts or whatever. But, you know, let me take a second out and let's talk about what can make a person who was definitely introverted an ex-introvert. Like, what could time do to you to make you start putting yourself out there?
Failed relationships.
Damn, you really nailed that one.
And that and that can go both ways.
Wow. Wow. Because in the back of my mind, I was thinking that. You was like, bam. You know what I mean? You in the back of the class like, I know the answer. I know.
Yeah.
But can you speak on that a little bit more? Like you know, how are you thinking about that?
I was never one of those. I didn't have more than one at one time. You follow me?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. So, like, when I went all in, I put all my eggs in. I went all in, you know. I didn't leave one egg out, which I probably should have.
Okay.
just to supplement myself for the next go around.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it can take a long time to recover, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes people don't have that time to recover. However, though, and then on the flip side of that, when thinking you only have so much time without thinking things through, that's like running into another wall without even turning the headlights on in the dark.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting how you put that. Because it's funny because you talking about how you put all your eggs in one basket. It's funny how many men do that and how they never really get the recognition for doing that. You know, so many. Oh well, most men are stereotyped for always being on the run or having a roving eye or and all that kind of stuff. But the men who don't do it, it's like they've forgotten or invisible or undervalued. Now, this is what women say they all want. But when they get it, well, how did they treat it? How did they play with it? How did they rock it? How did they carry it?
Mm-hmm.
And far too many times you'll see it was like, yeah. I'm gonna go over here to the one that to the wild horse over here that I'm gonna have to try to buck break. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So crazy.
Now, speaking of women, now I've heard a lot of women talk about how they grew up in abusive households, and then they went on to date and marry and all that kind of stuff and abusive relationships, and not always physically abusive relationships, but relationships that were mentally and emotionally mentally and emotionally abusive, to whereas they wouldn't get a chance to express themselves really, or they wouldn't really be able to go out. They couldn't. Many talk about how they couldn't speak. You know, it was very, very repressive. You know, and when they finally got out of that, it was sort of like, you know, the whole Tina Turner on.
I was going to say the I Can See the Thing. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Tina Turner was never less than vocal.
Right. She never.
I mean, that was part of the reason she was getting punched in the face. You know what I mean? Like, she never said she shut up. You know, it was like.
No.
You know? So although.
All that same shit.
Go ahead.
All that shit sound the same anyway.
I know, right? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, she knew that was coming when she said that shit. Like, yeah, he definitely had that look in his eye. But yeah, other women who weren't out on stage, you know, shaking it and you know being famous all over the world for their legs and all that kind of stuff. I've known situations where women they almost couldn't come out of the house unless their man authorized it.
Oh,
and,
man.
Yeah, and it's a crazy situation. Man, when I was a landlord, I saw so much crazy stuff. I've seen situations where a woman was not allowed to speak unless the man said so.
Ooh.
And it's like, he's not even, you know, trying to display that, but you see what's going on.
Yeah. Like being in an interview. Mm-hmm. And let's just say, yeah, like the wife is with a celebrity and they want to ask her a question. He looks at her before answering, before getting the okay to speak. Yeah, one of them.
Yeah. So after getting out of something like that, and maybe after some counseling and things like that, you may feel liberated enough to start express yourself more. Put yourself out there, maybe even explore some things that you previously wanted to but were never able to, you know, that can happen.
Yeah, just for the sake of just feeling good, you know, within your own skin, yeah.
Yeah, so I could see how you could become an extrovert. But how extroverted would you be? That's the question. You know, coming from that situation of being forced into being an introvert, how extroverted would you become after something like that? Because we know,
I think I'd be very selective, if anything. You know, just like back to Will, you know, doing his book. He shared a lot, but I'm quite sure we are all sure that he saved something for himself. And it's, you know, and for the sake of privacy and family, you know.
He held back.
I would think so.
Putting it out there.
Yeah.
Said his wife cried for 45 days straight. Never said why. Like, really, Will? That's what we doing?
Right.
That's yeah. Okay.
He's doing some great things for her, but yes, he's crying all the time. Yeah. Okay.
I'm like, look, man. Look, I'm gonna go ahead and put my 2 and 2 together. I don't know what you thought of it, but you know, look, I don't know if you know a lot about animals, but if you've ever been around a rescue animal, now a rescue animal you see how timid they are. Like,
yeah, because they've probably been tossed around more than once.
Yeah, they've been fucked up. You know, they've been, a lot of them have been abused and all. And you see how they be shaking and when they sense danger, they pissing on themselves and all of that. You're like, listen, I'm just, you know what I mean? It's okay. But that serves as an example of what abuse can do to a person as far as them being an introvert. Rescue animals don't normally ever gain the confidence to be extroverted. Like, it's a wrap. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's that. They stand down for the rest of their lives. With people, with human beings, it's a little different. You know, you can exercise will a little bit. You can be coached out of it, you know.
It's resilience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is odd because you would think that an animal would be able to, you know, because they get trained and they're trained by a reward system. So you would think that they would be able to turn it around, but the mind is a crazy thing, man. It's a crazy thing, and it determines where you go and where you won't be able to go.
Oh yeah. If it can be seen, it can be obtained, type thing.
Uh-huh.
If you can or you can't, if you think you can or you can't, you're right. One of those.
Yeah. Exactly one of those. Whew. So this it's a heck of a situation. So, you know, be classifying yourself or qualifying yourself as an ex-extrovert or an ex-introvert, one thing is for sure, is you're definitely going to have a story to tell of why you became one over the other. And we've seen people who have so-called come out of their shell, and sometimes they're a little too over the top. It's like, okay, all right, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You ain't got to get all Lizzo with it. You know what I'm saying? But
right. If you got your point across and you see it, you did, don't do overkill by nagging.
Right. Right. So,
or trying to be intimidating, you know, whichever.
I wonder, like, a couple of weeks ago or whatever, we talked about Dennis Rodman. Now, you remember how Dennis Rodman was in the early 90s? And I wonder if Dennis Rodman classified himself as more of an introvert before he started to really come out and do and become, you know, what he had done and what he had become. Because when he was with the Pistons, he definitely wasn't the same as how he was when he went to the Spurs. Big difference.
Okay, we're talking way before the Bulls, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he played with the Spurs for about 4 years before he ever went to the when he went to the Bulls, I think he only won the last two championships with the Bulls, didn't he?
I don't remember right off the top of my head.
I think so, something like that, because I remember the controversy with him going to the Bulls. Because, you know, Michael was like, this that motherfucker that used to be on that team that where they used to whoop my ass. And you know what I mean? You know.
Yeah.
With the bad boy Pistons, you know, like, crazy.
Almost like one of the kids in Cobra Kai.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sort of watching that, too. Yeah, the little nerdy kids getting beat up on, yeah, stuff like that. And then morphing into something else. You want to spike your hair up and shit. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so becoming an ex-extrovert or an ex-introvert.
Introvert.
You're definitely going to have a story to tell that it could be a situation where only you could relate to, or it could be a situation where a lot of people could relate to what your story is or what your journey has been, but you still own it in many ways.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's interesting about that too? You know, how does anyone know how to reach out and find maybe a support group to cut, you know, so you don't feel so, you know, in the box by yourself type thing. You know, you got your AAs and NAs, you know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, it's like the overeaters. And, you know, how many, you know, because you don't hear of those being, you know, I won't say promoted or referred, you know? Between the overeaters and the Gamblers Anonymous, you know, which, you know, Ohio just got gambling within the past, what, five years or so, better? 5-10 years. But yeah, having compulsive behaviors, be it extroverted or introverted or vice versa. I mean, how do people, you know, you don't hear about support groups doing such. Damn, just, hey, hence why I've been rocking with y'all for the past couple, 3 years now. Because mm-hmm. I appreciate how, you bring up some real shit, you know. So. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about any. It doesn't have to be something poignant just towards one subject in particular. Because you know we think about many things every day, so that's what's up.
No doubt. But speaking of those support groups, would you say that they encourage you to be more introverted or extroverted?
I think they. I think some can help be extroverted. Especially when it comes to, again, having that sense of self and, you know, again, being comfortable in your own skin type thing.
Yeah.
Instead of masking behind a behavior or, you know, using of any, you know, abuse of any kind like that, self-hurt. So instead of trying to, you know, trying to hear your voice at the bottom of the bottle, you know, instead of trying to you know, hear it that way, you know, you're not, the only thing you're going to hear is you, you know.
Well, they do insist that you tell your story because they know that for years you've probably been masking your addiction, acting like you weren't, trying to act like that you were living a normal life or that your life was still manageable. You know, one of the things that they make you profess is that your life was out of control, and that's why you're an addict. They make you declare that you're an addict for the rest of your life.
Well, there are steps to it, and you know, like they always say, it only works if you work it, type thing. So if there's something, you know, if there's anything, you know, as with anything, if there's something that we want, there are certain steps we have to do to achieve certain goals.
Yeah.
So before I get up and tell my story, I got to write down shit. I got to look at my shit on paper, you know, wherever. I got to look at it in the mirror and paper, whatever. Before I'm, you know, if I can tell it to myself, I'll be comfortable telling somebody else, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I could dig that. Yeah, and the other thing, when you go to support groups, they make you stand up and tell what you did or who you are. They make you introduce yourself and things like that. So they make you sort of do the public speaking thing.
I was going to get back to the public speaking thing. Now there, again, you know, depends on what kind of meeting it can be. It can be just a non-comment one where they just have this format where they already have something set up to where, you know, somebody just sit and listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
in those cases, that's one of those cases where, you know, where some people just need to be in one of those meetings where they just need to shut the fuck up and listen. Because some people just talk too much just to be heard, you know.
Right. But they do encourage you to come out to those meetings and interact with others, because they know that if you stop coming around, then the draw from outside negative influences could pull you back into your addiction.
Going back to what's familiar. Yep.
So. Listen, man, I appreciate you.
Word, yeah. You got it in today.
Cool. It was a blast. Appreciate it.
All right, cool. Well, hey, man, you enjoy the rest of your day, man. We'll get back.
You do the same.
Oh, much love to everybody else, too. I'll let y'all out there, too. Talk to you soon. Peace.
No doubt. That's what's up.
All right, I'm out.
All right. That's my man, I think, the unknown caller. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious February 26th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special, because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, T.J. Lee. Turning 51 years old today. Happy birthday, Ma. And also Marilyn Anthony, turning 38 years old today. And Leah McNear, turning 49 years old today. And Gwen Stokes, happy birthday to you. And Monica Troidal? Okay. Turning 55 years old today. And Shariga Sterling, happy birthday to you. And Rima Thomas, happy birthday to you, Rima. And Miles Green, happy birthday to you. And last but not least, Bill O'Mohammed, turning 47 years old today. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious February 26th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. A rock out, rock on it, do the damn, the damn, the rock out, rock on it, do the damn, rock out, rock on it, do the damn thing, you do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings, you do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, you are an ex-extrovert, an ex-introvert. You do things that don't hurt no more. You have learned for sure that the way you are now is the way to go about that world. And whether you're a boy or a girl, man or a woman, you got your own friends, and you going to be the way to your that you are to the end. Maybe yes, maybe no, but you know how it goes. I want to thank y'all for coming out today. I want to thank y'all for rocking out with the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Appreciate y'all. Peace to my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all back to life. We will be back tomorrow, 1 o'clock. We're going to stick with the 1 o'clock thing, yeah. Until football season, we're going to do that. So, I want y'all to have a great day today. If it's cold over your way, put on a coat today, but the sun is shining right now where I'm at, so feel good about that. So, Blog Talk, let me get you on up out of here. Oh, thanks to the caller that called in, man. I mean, I really appreciate calling in, putting in his insight, giving his insight, and making the show more better. So, peace, Blog Talk. I get back with you. And for my Instagrammers, Five Slammer Jammer, thanks for coming on through and let me exercise my grammar.